Heavenly Father, just want to thank you for giving us yet an opportunity to look at a core matter to your heart, to look at a very, very sensitive thing to you. Love is complicated. We cannot overemphasize this. Every one of us have a particular definition of it. There's language for love. There's types of love. There's formation of love. There's expression of love. These are complex, very difficult topics, Father. And we don't want to just approach it with randomness or feeling that we know everything. We want you, Father, to speak to us in your own way, because we want to advance. We want to move forward. We want to grow. We want to increase on all sides, Father. So we need you to speak to us. So give us the information, the foundational tools and resources we need to advance as a person, as a church, as a community, and as a family. So have your way, Father. Speak to us. I move myself off this scene, and I ask Spirit of the Living God, take the center stage. Have your way, Father. We know that the devil also is here to steal your word away and make it fall on stony ground. But I ask in the name of Jesus that it's going to fall on fertile ground. It will grow. It will bring forth fruit even for the future that will last long. You said it's the fruit that we abide. The fruit that we abide. Not just ordinary fruit, but sustainable growth in our lives. In the name of Jesus. We honor you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we live in a culture where we have a group of people, and it's really interesting. It startles me every time that we're such in an environment, a place where, say your hostel, for example, people that are amazingly attractive, like you know that you should be buddies and friends, yet, yes, they would talk to each other. I don't understand. You know that you are in a system where there should be a flow. You know, either church, home, school, whatever, you know in your heart, I should be a good friend with this person. We should be together. But you guys just pass, just go like that. You know? And I'm like, really? You know, it's so some of us, it's almost like it's our culture. It's like, it's the way to go. It's like, it's norm, right? And I'm surprised that in my place back home, you'll have to like, if you see an elder pass, you just have to like, what is that? You can't stand and greet your elder. But here, I'm like that's somebody you should say hello to. I greet them, you know? And it's so, like, norm to us, right? And yet, we're struggling together. We're struggling with one another. And it's interesting because mobile phones are beginning to be our vent. I'm lonely for a minute. Just going to pick it up, you know? I'm just going to text this guy. And it's a virtual thing. One person is replying back to you. Not even a human being, right? For God's sake, I need emergency. I need help. You call help center. Next thing you're here, press 1. I'm like, I'm dying. Can I speak to somebody? So it's so sad. We live in a culture where everything, like we're literally removing the human face and interconnectivity that we really need for growth and life. And so we are in a situation where, as we're looking at statistics, over 1/4 of all Americans say they feel lonely at least every single month. 1/3. People are so lonely. I'm like, wait. I won't assume that even here we are okay as such, right? Because they're just statistics. But in reality, if you look at it, to even text each other is like a struggle. I don't know how he's gonna feel. Maybe he's not gonna accept it. He might actually. This is church, right? We're brothers, right? I know we their privacy, but to an extent, it shouldn't be an issue, right? And so we are doing this math algorithm, solving this equation. I'm not just gonna bother. It's just too much. Let me just leave it. Right? Don't think that way. College students are most hit hard as I was looking through research. And some experts are ascribed this as to student being overly idealistic. Now, because we're mixing a little bit. Love, marriage. So some of you have these, thank you for my wife, 10 list of things that you want your brother to meet before you meet him. Right? Like, he must be tall. He must have beards. He must have muscles. Is she there? There you go, she's not there. All of our criteria, I missed everything. Everything. She was like, everything. I saw, I had privy to look at it eventually, though. She showed me, she's like, if not that, God, you didn't even meet anything. I'm from Nigeria, local boy from village like me. As you can still see, right? But God has what he's doing with us, and he knows what we really need. So we don't need to be too idealistic or certain structures. We need to align it with us. We need to set adequate expectation and not put people in boxes. Don't put each other in boxes where it's hard to really begin to relate with one another. Others distance themselves because they overcome. We are overcome by our own social anxiety, fear of rejection. What will they say? How will they treat me? As I was saying earlier. And it becomes a lot harder to go into a relationship that is sustainable. Worst case, be like, maybe if I just slide in the DM, life will be easy. I'm just going to slide in the DM. Once I throw the DM there, don't worry, that will take care of the rest. You know, don't stress about that one. She's not, they're not seeing my face. Anyway, I just tried it. I like kisses with a wink in the eye. Right? And so psychologists are beginning to take a deeper look at it, and we're beginning to find that for us to really grow, for us to, every single one of us, every human being on the surface of the earth, it is true. It is true. We cannot overemphasize this. We all need relationship. We need one another. We need one another. And so we're beginning to look at why, what are the reasons? How do we really approach this? So the first question we wanted to ask each other is, what truly is even love? Maybe if we had gotten it wrong before, maybe that is what is leading to our misunderstanding of it. Maybe that is what's even leading to our distance or what is separating us. And in the next series, God helping us as we move forward, we look at marriage as a prelude. If we get the grace, myself and my wife will sit down and really share with you how I prayed for 6 years. I was like, I need this sister. I know it's different for some of you. Some of you just like, oh, I like you. Yeah, let's go. Somewhere like me, I was like, nah, I gotta wait. Actually, I was looking at one sister before. I was like, maybe that's the one. But after a while, I was like, nah, I'm just gonna chill. You know, and I left. And thank God I left though. I left Nigeria and then went to the UK. But I was still like, oh wow. After all these years, it's not this person. But I had to wait and wait. So we should share with you in my marriage. We'll sit down with you guys. We'll talk about how we had ours. We're gonna ask questions, share with one another. Our guest speaker is gonna come on the same theme. We'll talk. And then we'll keep going through all these themes, relationships, to really look at what is true relationship. We'll look at our circles. How do we change our circles? So at the bottom of the end, we'll look at it. How do you analyze your relationships and the reality of it? Like, because it's not just easy to just jump into it. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Bye. It's not like that. There's a way to it, right? So we look at it carefully. How you begin to pick who you want to journey life with, right? So we're going to share some of this foundational. And then we're going to look at together what we call relationship tenet. What are the guidelines for yourself that should be required in every relationship you have, right? Is it helping me grow? Our relationship, is it growth-oriented? Is it helping me to move forward in the things God is helping me, that is teaching me to? Is my relationship, does it challenge me? Or is it the type that will say, well done, every time. Yes, you are the best. Yes, you are the best. And in your heart, you're like, you check me with where I'm supposed to go to. I'm not yet there. Or you are in a relationship where all the time, everything you hear is, you are too useless. You are just not sufficient for anything. Are you that type? So it's both ways. You need to find a way to really understand and analyze your relationship. And I know every day you want to be having at the back of your mind, as you begin to review your relationship, is this the type that I really want to be in? Don't forget, it's for us to take the information, analyze it, and then make the necessary action. Action is really important. So let's look at some scriptures first and foremost. So what is love? I want to hear from some of us today first. How do we define love? I know David will be like, this burst is coming to me. David's like, I'm always the first scapegoat. Always. How do we define love? Who want to help me? Okay, that's David now. Go to again. Nobody want to help. What is love?
Well, I know love is patient and it's also kind.
Love is companionship, affection is a connection between two things.
I don't know, love is just caring. Care for the other person.
Tell us, real stuff, bro. Don't come and give us dictionary definition.
I think love is like. I think it's like something like. The way two people connect and like they understand each other.
That's profound. All right. Don't worry, brother. We're not coming to you yet. But I then, let's go for it. What's love?
Love is selfless.
Selfless. Sister Na. Give us the definition.
I think you said it all. Okay, love is patient and kind. And I know love is not arrogant. Love does not brag.
She's speaking scriptures. I'm talking about like, how do you feel? You know?
Yeah, that's what I think. If you love someone.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All right, yes. Oh, no.
Love is when you can't live without that person.
When you can't live without that person. Let it go back. I like the speed of microphone. It's okay. We'll come back to that. How many of us, to be honest, if we go to the next slide, is it through R&B? Be honest. Some of you formed your definition of love through R&B songs, right? Be honest. Let's go to the next slide. You're going to check some of these songs. Some of you are listening to those days. Where is it? Yeah. Play for us. Let's hear just a few snippets. Be honest, how many of you sang it to yourself? You sang it to that sister. You did, right? That's the real deal. Okay, enough of Whitney Houston. Some of you are already singing this song. Can you see yourself? Okay, next one. Okay, it's like Whitney Houston is for maybe the older people, right? Let's see what is more contemporary. How many of you know this song? Oh my life. If you lie, I'm seeing your face. How many of you are connected with this song? Is it too old school? See you by church now, you're doing Christian. Okay, that's enough. I'm just giving you a snippet. And then this next one is, before you go there, this next one is interesting because this one maybe appeals more to the younger ones, right? Okay, let's go to it. I did hear somebody say, I like this song. That's enough. Did I hear some of you singing that song? I can see that as we went through those songs, some of you are beginning to reminisce those days.
All my life.
And to be very honest, quite frankly, not that they are bad, not that they are bad. These are songs that we do listen to. I don't listen to them anyway, but I had to go do some research. Well, I literally told Google, give me the top best R&B love songs. And these were the ones that appeared. But while we were looking at this, I know some of us have, and which is good, we connect our love with these songs. We associate with them as we have feelings and affection with people. Our desire is to really, really get the thing that is just making us have special interest in certain people. And obviously, what has happened, however, is that these guys here, they are just doing their part. They're using the opportunity and the feeling, this phenomenon that we all feel, to create this impression that that is what love is really about. And so, whilst they share their piece, many of us do conclude, you know, as somebody said before, that is everything that love has to be about. Some of these songs, I couldn't get a lot of them. They were hit songs. They sold millions of records. Like, they made lots of sales. In fact, the song with love-themed songs in the world are the ones that go the farthest. How many of us know Heal the World, Make a Better Place? These are songs that actually go far. Interestingly, and this is why we are going here now, as much as these songs are so popular, they have not had not a single dot on the peace in our world. As much as they've made so much sales, oh, guys, the truth is, they've not really helped us to, in fact, we knew it. We are seeing the statistic. I think they said it was only last year, a little bit, that divorce rate dropped. And why divorce rate dropped, we need to be careful about this compared to marriage. It's not because the real marriage thing was even going on. It's because some substitute came along the way. We know those substitutes, right? So, they're saying 50-50, both divorce in church and in the world. Yet, and I'm like, these songs are making crazy sales, millions of dollars. R. Kelly, Janet Jackson, all of them are selling albums, skyrocket money. Yet, we that listen to them, and I know it's kind of sad, we are the ones that fall into the greatest of a tragedy of what love truly stands for. In fact, we are the ones that almost get it conflicted because we've anchored that definition on what they are painting to us. And it's usually about one guy that looks great, one dude that looks beautiful, he has money. And you can see in the picture some of these things. And they make it look like it's when you're in the plane and you look at him down the plane. Oh, this is love. And so we kind of ascribe what love is defined as to some of these things that media has presented to us. So can we take a minute today, as our time is really running fast, to look at the ultimate love. Like, let us really get to the bottom of what love is about. Don't forget, why we are doing this is because to advance, to move forward, you need to understand what it takes to actually move forward. You need to do inreach first. You need to address the core of your being so that you can get the tools and resources you need in order to move forward. Now, because your relationship, your association with people, the key people that are around you, how you treat them is really important to how you advance. Critical, because if people around you are not moving forward or you are not helping you move forward, ladies and gentlemen, I know you can pray, you can do all these things, but you are not still going to move forward. Something has to happen with your environment. Something has to happen with your relationship. It's extremely important. Your growth journey will be harder if you are in isolation. And so we need to look at love in the reality of it. So let's look at a few scriptures. I hope we have time to really look at this today, because we want to challenge ourselves, first and foremost, to have a fresh, whole new definition. Oh no, not necessarily fresh. To supplement what we know about love, of course, what they said is a component. I'm not against the songs. They're good songs, actually. But, the thing is, why do we put the original stuff there, and then we can now begin to supplement with all this other stuff? All this other stuff are supplement. They are not the real deal. They are angles and dimensions and expressions of love. They are not really love itself. So let's start from here quickly. John 15, it's hard to really pick this. If you're on that slide already, there's tons of scripture. Okay, let's do this. Go on that slide. If you can write the scriptures down, please do so as we come together to define what love is. Let's look at these scriptures on the slide. Write them down because we might not be able to go to everything. I'll just try and pinpoint a few. As I said, while we are, just let's be patient together because we're coming over these couple things and we'll be really looking at them in the depth of what God is speaking to us about. Actually, let's start from John 13. Let's start from John 13, 34. Let's start from John 13, John chapter 13, verse 34. There's so many of those scriptures I want to, but let's start with this one. So we have heard before the Ten Commandments of Moses. And it's interesting that, and I know some of us try so hard to really, those Ten Commandments are important. Love the Lord your God. If you do this, go to the other person and plead for forgiveness. Sabbath day, keep it holy, blah, blah, blah. And all those things. We all know, some of us can even recite the Ten Commandments offhand. But Jesus came and changed the narrative one more time. Don't forget, he's saying in Matthew, I think Matthew 5:16, I can't remember again specifically. I've not come to abolish the law, but I've come to what? To complete it, to perfect it. How that version put it. Now, so when he's talking about the commandment, which is the law we've known, when he's now telling us what they are and the reality of it, it's not that he's changing anything that is different. He's doing what? He's presenting it to us in the original context of it. Now, this verse here, in short, is the entire summary of the Ten Commandments. And I really took my time. This, you know, I like research a lot. So I was trying to break it apart. The first five part of the Ten Commandments was covered in the first top, love your God. And the second part is covered in the, sorry, go to Matthew 25, let's start from 36. Matthew 35 and John 13 is the same. But go to Matthew 22. Let's go there. And Jesus was saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the second is like unto it. Do what? The teacher. Teachers, which is the greatest commandment in the law. They are trying to ask him. Next verse. And Jesus replied. Now let's look at this together by trying to define what is really law. So Jesus told them in verse 37, you shall do what? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Love. Next one. The second is like unto it. The first though is the what? The greatest. Next is what? The second is like it. You shall love what? Love what? People sitting around you here today. People who are here with you. Your neighbors, your next door neighbors. People that you associate with every day. Love them. Love them. Not just anyhow, but how? As yourself. As yourself. We get there a little bit because there are types of love. There's a particular love that is love yourself and we don't dwell there alone. Don't forget the first one. So we're looking at it and I'm like, wait. Love, go to Sabbath day, that shall not lie against, shall not bear false witness. False witness, by the way, is for the second part. So if you break those part, those laws out, you actually discover that Jesus is actually perfecting them here and giving us what is really required for us to live by. If we understand these love principles, if we understand this love basis, this love core that rules over their fears, this is really important. If we understand this, we will be fine. In fact, we'll not have too much trouble with God. Why most of us get into so many things is because, and we're praying this morning in the prayer meeting together, God, just place your love in my heart. If I can just love you, there's certain things, pastors, or we don't need to pursue you anymore. Honestly, if you love God and you're passionate about Him, there's certain things that you don't even do anymore. There's certain things we don't force you to do. To come to church, my father, like I have to be my father's house. This relationship, right? This is just what I have to do. Whether I'm with people or wherever I am, I love God too much. I cannot do that. I love Him so much. Critical. And so, sometimes, maybe, again, why we are struggling with certain things? Because our love is not strong enough. It's not strong enough. You have strong, effective love for the Father. There are certain things you will not do anymore. So, we're checking it together. Don't forget, we're challenging each other today to really review it and check one more time. What is my stand? Where am I? What do I need to change? And we're looking at love, marriage, and relationship. Now, that's that verse we just start with. Now, let's go to John 15. John 15. Jesus is trying to describe to us what love. We're trying to define love. John 15. John 15. Let's start from verse 9. It's already in your scripture we wrote, but we'll read this quickly and we'll go for it. I have loved you just as the Father has loved. Remain where? In my love. And do not what? Do not doubt it. God's love upon us is unshakable. Unshakable. On a very strong foundation. But Jesus did not just say this just to define, to tell you what love is. He now began to put attributes to it. So let's go to the next verse again. If you keep my command and obey my teaching, you remain where? In my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandment and remain where? In his love. Next verse. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy may be made full and complete and overflowing. Let's jump to verse 13. Verse 13. No one has greater love. Now, this is key now. We're talking about love. No one has greater love, nor stronger commitment than to lay down what? His life for his friends. Be honest. Let's be honest now. I know it's not serious stuff. How many of you can lay yourself down for me? Sincere question. Are you not my friend? I can see all of you. It is how we know the truth. Right? But it's a simple statement Christ is presenting to us here. If we truly love each other, then we will be ready to give off ourselves. Now be sincere with yourself. People that we even say we love sincerely, are we ready to give ourselves off? Are we ready to sacrifice? So we're trying to define this ultimate kind of love that we all ascribe to. Obviously, we cannot be even half of it. But maybe if we really understand the way it truly appears to be, and we get the knowledge, we can infuse that into our marriage, our homes, and our relationships. If we get the true blueprint of what love is defined as, I can be rest assured. Our marriage, our life, you just go like, you just skyrocket. Because it's the fundamental, it's the basis, it's the root. No one has greater love. Let's go to the NKJV, the KJV version, New King James Version. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. To lay down one's life for his friend. If you take time to read through the scripture, you see how Christ begins to demonstrate that. He began to demonstrate it. Shortly after that, he began to wash his disciples' feet. Who is washing the disciples' feet? The King of Kings himself. God, in human form, came down. But looking at it a little before that, we'll get to the course of it in a minute. And by the way, our time is 1:30. I know we're looking at 1:40, but it's 1:30. So he loved them, but I'm almost wrapping up so we can still finish. I'll try and finish as close to 1 as possible. But notwithstanding, our time is 1. From next week, we'll make it effectively 1:30. But today, we'll not finish exactly 1:30. Greater love has no man than this. So he washed their feet. Now, this is baffling because everything about what scriptures usually tell us is always counterintuitive. I call it that word. It's always conflicting, challenging what we thought it was every single time. So the first thing as we begin to approach the definition is to be humble, because if we come with what we know before, it can cause a lot of conflict. It can begin to be a contest and say, this is not what it truly is. I don't believe in that. But if you really come to the truth of the bottom of the truth of what God's word is saying, because that is how the word of God will come, it will actually first challenge you. And so some of us who, and that's why I really wish that couples are here together to really go back and like, since I was even asking, can I die for you? Like, can you die for me? Like, are we on the same page? Are we just acting drama? Right? Is our love that strong? Where we can literally commit to saying that if whether anything comes, I will give myself for this purpose. So after this, we want to go back, share the message though, because I'm always go back to our spouse, be like, can you die for me? Can you die for me? That's not what we're saying. That's why it's good to be together first, so you can learn together, and then you can reflect on it. Because if you go and present it, so with the wisdom today is just chip the message in, and like, can you try and listen to this? Let's talk about it afterward. Not like, I heard today's sermon in church. Can you die for me? Don't do that. That's conflict. But we're trying to get a united front together to recognize that we actually can give of ourselves. Because I know that if we get this definition correctly, And for those of us who are in the early stage or are still in the phase of our relationship, we can really go back to the foundation of it. Relationships can be repaired. I forgot to say that. It can be revived. It cannot die. You can make it work. The child of God takes responsibility for making relationship work. I know it's hard, and I know it's part of our task, but we'll get to a place where we begin to be stronger, even in hard situations, in hard, how to deal with difficult relationships. We'll get there as God gives us the grace in future, but that is the responsibility of a child of God, to make sure it works sacrificially and painfully. It's not easy. It's not easy at all, and I don't want to disguise it to make you feel like, yeah, I'm going to be the stronger. It's not easy. The real definition of love is hard, but it's workable. We can attain it. If we go to the next verse quickly, verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Next verse. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I made known to you. Next verse. Critical. You did not choose me. It's important. But I chose you and appointed you that you should go and do what? And bear fruits. And that your fruits will do what? Will remain. That whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Your relationship is going to bear fruits. And I'm saying relationship in the larger scope of it. Whether marriage, friendship, how you put it, is going to bear fruits because there's a guiding principle to this. There's a guiding principle, and I'm being careful as we go to this, because not getting this very, very key principle is why some relationships are not effective. Is why it's not bearing fruit. Is why it's not progressing. Your relationship, whatever you do with people that you're in contact with, should produce result. In effect, it should result to multiplication. Product of, for some of us, we kids, growth, multiplication, replicate, right? In terms of friends or team that are really effective, your output, your product should be effective, should double. It's a binding principle. Remember in Genesis, we read it together, why God created man? He said he should dominate and do what? And multiply. And do what? And subdue the earth. The guiding principle to that is the principle of love. Now, because let's break this down to example, context, like family context. Because I don't want to just vary it on family or marriage. We're talking of something really broad, right? And so we want to break it out. Because a lot of people are like, is it only for married people? No, it's not only for, it's for everybody. Now, I just want to use family marriage example as a example of this case we're looking at. Now, you give birth to your children, and they're here, and you know, the most important thing to invest in the life of your children is love. The most important thing, if you want those fruits to remain, the most important investment you can put in them. And I've tested this with my kids. It's just 3 years. I've like myself and my wife are checking this thing. It just pour love in them. Love them genuinely. Obviously, that love sometimes you contain like you're going wrong. Chastisement. Your father who loves you, the one that you love, that you do what? You chastise. Eh? You discipline them. Because that is how they go to the right way. Right? Love. You pour love in them. You are not doing this rightly. And I'm talking to my 3-year-old. It's like, oh, daddy, really? Okay, I'm sorry. I won't do that again. Right? Love that comes from your heart. Invest love in whatever your association. And we are talking about agape love. So let's fast forward quickly. We'll come back to a few more scriptures. Before the characteristics of love, sorry, I missed the slide. Let's go to the slide where we talked about types of love. Go forward. 3 steps ahead. 3 steps. 3 steps forward. Yes. So this is brief. I'm not going to waste too much time as a wrap up. There's this kind of love, unconditional love. I'm sure we all know different type. I just wanted to bring them up just so we can have different idea to it. If time permits us in the future, we'll really break all this love down, these types of love. But there's this type where the agape love is the one we're going to be considering today, which we started considering already. There's eros, which is like romantic love. Most of the type, they kind of sing in those R&B songs, which is not the only thing. But many of us only hold on to that one as the only love, right? That's not it. It's one of it, but it's not really it. There's filial, affectionate love to our brothers and sisters in the church. There's love for yourself as God has created you. Critical, because if you don't love yourself, remember, love your neighbor as yourself. Some of us don't even love ourselves. Some people don't even care about it. So how do you want to love your neighbor as yourself? That means if you love your love factor to yourself is zero, love your neighbor as yourself, you don't even love people anymore because you don't even care. Does that make sense? So you need to love yourself. It's critical. There's church love, the type of love we have for our kids. It's really important. It's pragma and all of this kind of love. I don't spend too much, but that mania is really important to be aware of. Some of us can be so obsessed with certain people that is in the wrong direction. The mania love. It's so obsessive that you can't do without that person. If I don't see somebody today, I won't be fine. If I don't say hello to that person, my life is not going to be okay. And I have to just, that one is extreme. Please be aware of that. We won't have time to really do it. I just want to point it out because I have a note I created of this type of love. Maybe I'll push it in the email. If you're in our email, I'll share it with you. But it's critical information. But one thing we want to learn about here, and I want to really bring out, is if you follow through with agape love, if you follow through with the God's kind of love, you will, in most probably cases, cover all the other side of love. Because if you really understand divine originals, I'm going back to our starting point, if you love yourself, you know your authentic creation of your Father, you will definitely appreciate what God has created in you. Right? If you appreciate that God is not just making randomness with you, you recognize the giftedness of God in your heart, you appreciate and put value on yourself. And with that self-same worth, you can begin to share with others. Critical. So that's agape love covers a whole lot of things that we're trying to talk about here. Agape love covers everything. Agape love is a love that will help you cause something to occur in other people. This is a very contagious love. Very, very contagious. If you really love people genuinely, it speaks louder than voice. If you're committed to seeing that this person, and this is how we're defining it. Let's get that definition before I forget. So I'm borrowing Miles Murray's definition because it kind of covers this dimension we're going to. If you want to write it down, you can write it down. Love, in agape love now, is the commitment to find out somebody else's needs and the commitment to meet that need without the person asking for it and without expecting anything back in return. I know it's crazy. I'm like, yo, I have to get something back. Filial love, Eros love, all of those other love, usually most cases get something back. But this love we're talking about here, I'll say it again. I'll define it so that people that are writing it down. Love is a desire and a commitment to meet the need of somebody else without the person asking for it and without even expecting anything back in return. I know it's big. You're like, whoa. It's Miles Murray. We credit that too. But I kind of took it a little bit to add more of the context to it. Let's now look at it straight with the scriptures as Christ labeled and presented it to us. And we kind of just wrap up there and pray. Jesus Christ was with Father in heaven. And he looked as he was praying that let the love among these people also be in them. We're reading Matthew now. John 17, he was praying, let this love, the same way me and you are so together, the same way we are united, let them be united. Let them be together. Let them love one another just as we have loved you. Just as I have loved you. So that's the definition of Christ. You know, saying, you guys, don't worry. I first love you just as I first love you. Next, verse 17 of this same verse scripture, John 15:17. These things I've commanded you that you do what? Love is not, if I forget, the definition of love is not what you desire to. We're trying to put context. Just one thing we're looking at this morning. Definition of love. We first said that definition of reaching my Morris definition. What we've actually done is to put context to it. Just looking at scripture. And we're trying to look at the angle God is reminding of us for love. And we're trying to look at types of love. This is a command. This love we are talking about, it is what? In literal term, is an order from God. We must love one another. It's not that I think about it or it's negotiable, because God knows, oh, he knows if God give us the opportunity left to me, 80% of people, I won't even talk to them. God knows. I will just find our way and move forward. I just don't want to have anything to do with that. But he knows that because we know we can negotiate too much, he just, let's put it in a simple way. It's my command. Love one another. So as we live here today, how do we do what God is telling us? How do we approach it today? How do we reflect on this love we are calling love to one another? How are we handling our relationship? Are we committed to it? Have we concluded that our relationship is always going to be symbiotic? Give and take, give and take, give and take. And if they don't take, there's trouble. There's trouble there. I know it's contrary to what some of these guys will be saying. Right? And I've seen situations where people have served so much and you're not getting back. You're like, I'm tired. I cannot proceed with this. But look at it again. He's saying it's not based. Let me quickly say this. The love we're expressing is not based on that definition. It's not because of the person we are giving it to. It's because of the nature of who you are and the child of God that you are. Does that make sense? It's not because those people deserve it. It's not because that person or whatever you are trying to apply that love to only deserves it. You are doing it because of who you are. Your love is an expression of who you are. Extremely important. Very, very important. So if we have an environment where people are not caring about who takes the glory, where we're not caring about who does what for who, where we are not waiting for who is going to pat me on my back, you're just expressing the love of God in your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, that environment is an environment for explosive growth. Mighty. It's like it's just going to go because everybody's just like falling through with what they know is required of the Father, not required of men. Because we have defined these things according to what they model to us, and we have thought that it's the way to go, and we're trying to make it look like what it should be based on what certain people are saying. But that's not the case. It's not the case. Your love is based on what the Father has done in you. The transformation you have experienced, the joy He has given to you, the peace of heart you are enjoying, the life you are now living in Christ, you are now presenting it to the world as an expression of your love for the Father shown to the world. And so as we get to this point, next week, God allowing us, we're going to be looking at the characteristics of love. He doesn't boast. He's not haughty. He's not proud. He doesn't even consider any other person higher than the other person. Right? He's humble. He's patient. Long-suffering. He perseveres. And I know a lot of people have gone through so many heartaches and pain, but I'm seeing God beginning to minister to you, right? And telling you, this is what I wanted to bring you to. This is where I wanted to start you off from, so that I can know exactly how these things work. Right? So I can know how this thing works. And begin to understand what you look for as you go into this long-term journey. We want to break, like literally crush divorce. We want to crush it at the head and prove to our world that children of God can have relationships that abide, fruit, sustainable relationship for long term till Christ will come. There's a principle to it. It can happen. Because we are in a situation now, and it's painful to me that people are literally going into it and they are literally signing the contract of how many years they expect it to last before they start. Literally. Okay, we're going to sign this marriage, but we're going to do 1-year contract. And after that, reverse. Jesus said himself, what God has joined together, let no man put hands on, including you. Right? Including yourself. You cannot break it apart. Marriage is different. When we come to marriage and define it. Institution that God himself set up. It's not man-made. So I'm looking at some of these people who are trying to define it the way it should be defined. It's not defined by their own law. This is a biblical principle built on what God expects. Right? And it's important. You cannot break it apart. So we want to crush it. But to crush it, there's way to it. There's formulas to it. There's a strategy. And once we get that information, the keys and the tools we need, we can crush it effectively. We can transform our society because our world is struggling. It's starving of true love. It's starving. People are perishing. People are lost. They are fighting to get a way through. And they're looking for who can just tell us they love them one more time. And so if we're going to just decide together here as we just bring this to a close, that I'm going to love God with all my heart. I'm just going to dedicate myself to God. We pray with this scripture as we wrap up. Romans 8, 8:38. If you want to take me there, quickly help me as we bring this to a close. Romans 8:38. What can separate us from the love of God? What can? Who can? How can that be? What can separate us from the love of God? Let's take one step back, verse 37. Let's read it together. In all these things, we are what? We are more than conquerors. Through who? Through who? Who loved us? Let's read 38 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things what? To come. Next verse. Nor what? No height, no depth, no what? Nothing created. And what again? Shall separate us from what? From the love of God. Where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a secure love. No height. Like no matter the principle, they cannot snatch us away from the love of the Father. It's grafted in there. It's solid, solid love. So that is what we are wrapping up with today as we just begin to reflect together. How have I thought? What have I missed before? Like, I love somebody and I'm expecting them to do it, but that's not, I'm going this time around. I'm saying, you know what? To be honest, I'm not loving you because, and I'm not saying go out there, your brother, those bros or sisters at home that way, you know, your people you are in relationship with. You're proposing your mind. And you're going to take it afresh. That, you know what? I've recognized that the love, it's even the love of God that is inseparable from me, that I'm just loving you with. It's not because of what you do or you didn't even do anymore. Right? I'm just going to love on you. I'm going to cherish you. I'm going to bless you and encourage you with what I know. I'm a teaching, and I'm happy we're starting this from the roots with ourselves. And we will come back to be, as you go in your relationship, this is what you just come to be defining and refining and refining. That. Because people say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Wait. Let's pause. Before we say that word, do we really mean it? Do we really understand the depth of it? As Christ is saying, that is actually to die replacement. It's big. It's big. Agape love, the ultimate kind of love that can cause transformation in our world, that can lead to growth, that can lead to change, that can bring effective transformation in the lives of people, is agape kind of love. And so I think we've been trying to approach it in different ways that maybe if I try to tell them to do this, set these rules apart. Christ, forget commandment. He said, keep this commandment first. What is required? It's love. It's love. Let's perfect this commandment, not to abandon it or forget it or throw it away, but let's perfect all these things that God is trying to say through love. Amen. And so we wrap it up today with that. There's so much we need to look at in this. But I hope you've been challenged a little bit. You've really come to a point to recognize the fact that, and maybe as we were talking, I really get to a point to recognize that maybe I've thought of this differently before. And maybe if I go now and I want to look at it a different way, that it's because God so much loved me. John 3:15. And he gave himself. Not because, listen carefully, not because, and it's interesting because despite that, some of us still did not receive that love. Despite that, some of us still fail and trample on we still err. Even though he did what he had to do. So you can see, it's not because of what he was expecting back. It was because of what his nature as the Father. So as we begin to look like our Father, as his love begins to wash us afresh, as our heart begins to be transformed, then we are becoming like him. We're beginning to infuse our world with an authentic love that can cause change. Praise God. So let's just wrap, let's close our eyes together as we, let's actually be on our feet in a few minutes because I know we've sat a little bit on this word, but I want us to really stand on our feet and take a moment, you know, to talk back to God. All I want us to do today, honestly, if we can get this, sit that down, we are good. All you're just going to do is to say, Father, let your love fill my heart. Let your love, the love of Christ Jesus, because I want to take this to my relationship. I want to take this to my marriage. I want to take this to my home. I want everybody to see the love of God in me. Remember, it was the first love, the very first love that you want to go back to. And I want us to start with that today. Say, Father, let your love ravage my heart. Let your love fill my heart. kind of, you want to whisper that, you want to say that out loud. As the love of God just flow through you, as it begins to rub on you, you know, you begin to feel this refreshing, this renewal, this revival begin to ignite in you. You begin to feel this freshness, this longing to just satisfy your Father. Just talk to God and say, Father, let your love, the true definition of love, the true love in His reality, let it fill my heart today. I don't want to hold anybody in grudge. I just want to have a passionate relationship with you, God. I want to start on the right note in 2020. I want to just open a fresh blank sheet and say, Father, I want to love you. I want to love you. You've paid so much. You've given so much. You died on the cross for me. You gave your only begotten Son because you love me. Lord, let your love fill my heart. Let your love fill my heart. And as we begin to do this, as this change, the Holy Spirit begins to ravage our heart with His love, check it now. You begin to see certain weights begin to drop off you. Because, see, when you replace burdens and concerns and issues in you with the love of God, you begin to get a relief, a liberation, a freedom. Because it is in 1 John, we didn't get time to read that, we'll take that last week. 1 John chapter 4 was saying, let us love, because anyone that is love is born of God, right? It brings liberation, it brings liberty. Love brings, so it brings freedom to operate in the reality of your calling and your purpose. Critical. Love, true love, gives freedom, energy, liberation for you to fulfill all that God has called you to do. So speak to God this hour as we wrap up. That, Lord, let your love. I just want to feel your love, Father. Teach me to love you, Lord. Can I get a choir to help me a little bit? To love you, Lord. To love you, Lord. Teach me to love you, Lord. To love you, Lord, to love you, Lord. Teach me, Lord, teach me to love you, Lord, to love you, Lord, to love you, Lord. Teach me to love you, Lord, to love you, Lord, to love you. Teach me to love you, Lord, teach me to love you. And just pour your heart to God this hour and say, Father, your love is all I'm desiring, Lord. Your love is my desire. Lord, I want to love you passionately. This 2020, everything else takes the back burner. But your love is the first and most important thing I want to start this new year with. Your love is the ultimate, Father. I subdue every other thing, but I want, among other things, Lord, first and foremost, to get your love. Teach me to love you, Father. Teach me to love. What can separate us from the love of God? Neither height, neither depth, persecution, angels, principalities. Nothing can separate us from the love of our Father. Lord, teach us. Teach me to love you. As we talk about love, let's just ask God that, Lord, as I get this clear understanding of what love is, what you are placing in my hand, let it be fruitful, let it grow, Father. Let what you are placing in my hand, my relationship, my marriage, my home, my household, my career, people you have placed within me, let me find fruitfulness in my relationship. As Father, as I love you, let your love begin to radiate all over, that people will find the reason to also love you the same way. Because your love is just what is important to me. Just ask God, our Father, let fruitfulness follow through. Let fruitfulness, multiplication, increase on all sides. In the name of Jesus. Talk to your God, talk to Father, talk to our Father this morning. He's here as you begin to express your love to Him. He begins to take away certain things. He begins to remove certain burdens. He begins to remove certain weight. Because it's truly not yours. It's not yours. It is our Father that can take it away. But the way to go is to recognize that your heart is with Him. You don't want to hold on to anything anymore. But you want to hold on to your Father. You want to hold on to God this hour. And begin to seek forgiveness, renewal, revival in all that pertains to your life. Everything that has been burdening your heart. Everything that is making you hate. Everything that is making you hurt. Everything that is making you concerned. As we start this year, ask God to revive you. To give you true love that passes all understanding. Not because of the person you are involved with, but because of the Father that you have now started a new relationship with. Teach us, Father, how to go in 2020. We want to start with this understanding. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. We honor you, Father. Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity you've given us to just share your word. It is our desire, Lord, to really have agape love. Agape love that not only concerns ourselves alone, the type of love in your heart, the type of love that was in the heart of Jesus. Because what suspended Jesus on the cross wasn't the nails, it was His love for us. The love that covers multitudes of sins, the love that covers multitudes of transgression, the love that covers multitude of errors, the love that covers multitude of hurt, the love that covers multitude of pain, the love that covers multitude of struggles and challenges, the same love that Jesus expressed to us, agape love. Our world is starving of this type of love. Our world desires this kind of love. So today, we are asking, make us instruments. Make us vessels that you use to spread your love across generations, across lives, across souls, Father. What is more important to us today is to start this year, this service, this Sunday, this new time you've given unto us with authentic love for you first and foremost and for people around us. So we just return all the glory back to you that you have your way, Spirit of the living God. Take our church to a whole new dimension so that all the glory and all the honor will return back to you. We bless you and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.